This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
The new horizons opened by personalized medicine or precision medicine have also opened opportunities for combination products. These are products that combine a drug with a delivery device or diagnostic device into a single product, and they are becoming more prevalent as newer and more advanced therapeutics come to market. In fact, in some cases, combination products are even required. I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of DIA Global Forum. Today, my guest is Bill Zerold, a senior business development digital strategy executive with Otsuka America Pharmaceuticals and a member of the program committee for DIA's upcoming Combination Products Conference. Bill, I thank you for joining me today to discuss the state of combination products, and welcome.
Alberto, thank you very much. Delighted to be here. And just want to highlight that as we go through our discussion here, that my comments here are reflective of my own thoughts and opinions and not necessarily those of my company.
Thank you. Much appreciated. Let me start with your title, which includes the words digital strategy. How does the digital strategy title intersect with combination products? Can you illuminate that for us?
Absolutely. So I think as we all recognize, we are all walking around with mighty powerful computers in our pockets now, our smartphones, our tablets, and those sorts of devices. And increasingly, you're seeing the ability to leverage software and delivering it through those devices for providing therapeutic benefit. So there are examples where the FDA, and in particular CDRH, are putting forth guidances and programs to really encourage innovation in leveraging digital technology. And the digital technology is not, by definition, standalone. It's not necessarily just to be used without any medication. It can be used, just as we're talking about here, in combination with medicines. And we're starting to see the FDA look at those sorts of devices, combination products. We're starting to see some of those come through the pipeline. So it's an exciting time, I think, for the industry, because you start to now have the power of the traditional medicines, traditional medical devices, enhanced with the power of digital technology and the underlying data that supports those technologies.
So, for example, the use of apps and digital devices and wearable devices is an aspect of what you're talking about here?
It's an aspect. And, of course, there are literally hundreds of thousands of apps out on the App Store. Not sure that that's really where the focus is. It's more on those few select players and industry organizations that are taking their solutions through the regulatory pathway. And so one example from last year was a company called Pear Therapeutics, which had the first prescription digital therapeutic approved by CDRH, approved by the agency. And this happens to be a standalone app. It's for treatment of substance abuse. But in the long term, it certainly could be offered in conjunction with medication. And I think that's the first of many future ones to come.
You mentioned CDRH a couple of times, the Center for Devices and Radiological Health at the US FDA. So let's talk about the regulatory environment for just a moment. Obviously, the environment in which we operate in relation to combination products and many other products is heavily regulated. So in your view, how is the regulatory environment affecting the development, manufacture, regulatory approval, regulated use of combination products, particularly in the United States?
Well, it's certainly an area that's moving in many ways fairly quickly here. We're seeing many new laws and guidances come from the agency. If you look at the 21st Century Cures Act, they've put in place some provisions that are really around trying to make better determinations about the ultimate primary mechanism of action, the primary mode of action. And that's a key piece. The question often comes in these combination products: well, what's really driving the therapeutic effect? Is it the drug? Is it the biologic? Is it the device itself? And to have a more clear and codified process, which the 21st Century Act really attempts to do, is extraordinarily helpful for the industry so that they can have better insights into which pathway really will be driving the evaluation of their product. So I think that's a key development for the industry and for the regulatory environment. I think in a similar way, PDUFA 6 also offers some provisions around really streamlining the review process for combination products, looking to put in place manuals, SOPs, really developing the skill set within the center itself to be able to move these things more quickly. So in general, I would say you have a thrust from the government of trying to be more effective and more efficient and more transparent in how it's evaluating combination products.
Do you find that the U.S. government is particularly receptive to innovation, whether it's digital innovation, manufacturing innovation, and any other type of innovation in this current environment and the expected future environment?
I do think so. I think that ultimately, again, looking through the lens from the digital side, the agency has put out a number of guidances and about a year ago launched their pre-cert program, which I think gives really insights not only to how the agency is trying to keep up with the digital innovation that's going and the potential impact on combination products, but also how the industry is evolving. So in this pre-cert program, it's a recognition that the agency is not just looking at medical devices as they have traditionally. These are not stents. These are not artificial hips and knees and things that they can physically touch. On the digital side, it's software. And that requires a different skill set and a different lens when they're evaluating that. They're looking at algorithms. You can't touch or feel those. So when this pre-cert program was set up, it was really designed for the agency to work with the industry to effectively figure it out. What are the things that we should be looking at in evaluating these solutions? What are the quality pieces that need to be in place? What are the data privacy and security pieces that need to be in place? And so in this pre-cert program, there were a handful of companies that were selected for it, and you have some of the traditional stalwarts like Johnson & Johnson and Roche. But then you have some really interesting other organizations that were selected. You have Pear Therapeutics, which I had mentioned earlier. You have Fitbit. You have Verily and Samsung. And of course, Apple recently with their ECG reading tool that was just approved. So you've got this recognition, I think, by the center that the world is changing, that the technology is changing, and the impact on combination products may be very significant. And so they're really putting in place this program and these guidelines to help encourage innovation and ensure that the agency itself has the wherewithal to do an appropriate evaluation.
In fact, at that point, just a few days ago in late September, I heard FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb in a public presentation describe the changes in the last couple of decades with respect to FDA's regulated products as being monumental changes. That was his word. And he particularly pointed to the recent CDRH approval of the iWatch app for cardiac monitoring, which you've mentioned. And he mentioned that as an example of the agency being very much in tune with the times and prepared to review and approve very innovative products. Again, from a digital perspective, which is your field and specialty, do you see currently any disconnects between the science of developing and manufacturing combination products and the regulatory science of reviewing and approving them? Are these two schools of thought more or less in tune with each other, or are there any disconnects from your perspective?
Yeah, I think because the technology is evolving so quickly, I think the CDRH, to its credit, has acknowledged that in certain areas, it really wants to collaborate with the industry to make sure this science is as current as it possibly can be. So that pre-cert program that I mentioned a few moments ago for the digital space is a great example. Again, when you've got an agency or a center within the agency that has traditionally evaluated very tangible an artificial knee or hip, something you can physically touch, and now they're being asked to evaluate software perhaps as part of a combination product, that's a different skill set. That's a different mindset. And so to their credit, they really put forth a program where they're collaborating heavily with the industry to fill some of those gaps. The people who work there historically have not necessarily had that level of expertise. They hadn't necessarily reviewed tons of these sorts of solutions. And so I think there is a little bit of a gap, but I think the agency is taking a terrific approach and looking to collaborate with those in the industry that are advancing on these technologies and to do it in a way that they're working together and learning side by side and making sure at the end of the day they're serving their remit, that is the agency of protecting patients at the end of the day.
Would you say, and I recognize this would be your personal opinion, would you say that the agency is keeping up pretty well with the advances in industry, or is industry kind of way ahead and the regulations have to catch up?
I really want to give the agency a lot of credit because I think that in many respects, with this pre-cert program as one example, I think they've moved pretty darn quickly. And so industry has certain advantages and they can be out ahead. And sometimes the industry could get too far ahead in terms of the agency's capability, but even the market's readiness. And so I think having that collaborator mentality that the agencies had, I think, is very helpful, not to slow things down, but in fact, just what they're doing, to do it in a way that encourages additional innovation. You know, there's an old phrase in consulting, go slow to go fast. So as they're doing things now, and I'm not suggesting they're going slow, but get it set up now, and that really starts to lay the groundwork to allow really much more rapid and ongoing innovation in the industry. So right now they're building that foundation, and I think they're doing it in the appropriate way in collaboration with the industry.
It wasn't so long ago that industry as a whole used to look at FDA as an agency that slowed things down and forced industry to wait. Has those times gone away? Has the world changed to that extent where the agency is no longer a roadblock or a delay agency, but rather one that is moving along with industry as rapidly as can be possibly done?
From the industry perspective, you can imagine it's never going to be fast enough. And that's, that's because of the excitement, the urgency, and that's not necessarily always realistic or reasonable, but you can understand the drives behind there. Hey, we've got this new solution. Let's get it out the door. But with that said, I think the agency, it really is working very hard in many ways to kind of make sure it's not a barrier at all to entry for these organizations. And so it goes back to what I mentioned a little bit earlier about PDUFA 6 really has some processes and procedures it's really trying to put in place to streamline the review process on combination products. And as it relates to digital, we talked about that Apple ECG mechanism, and that was, as my understanding, occurred within 30 days. So it's
remarkable.
It's remarkable. So I wouldn't say that that's the standard, of course, but I think it's a hint of where this could eventually get to.
Let me move to another topic that's closely related, actually, the patient. What we are talking about ultimately is for the benefit of patients. So people talk a lot about patient engagement in product development. So what is your perspective on the biggest opportunities for patient engagement in combination products development? Have we seen any success in engaging patients, or is this still very much in the formative stages as you observe it?
Overall, progress has been made in the engagement of patients through this process. And again, I'll put my digital lens on this. As you think about traditional drugs or traditional devices, one of the goals of those products is that they don't change, that they go through the process, they're developed, they're approved by the regulatory authority, and they are consistent. And every batch is checked, every product is evaluated, and if they were evaluated, there would be this consistency, this uniformity. The spirit of digital is to be highly iterative, and the iteration comes from patient engagement. It comes from user feedback. It comes from caregivers who are using the solutions. It's a fundamentally different model and mindset, but it's really rooted in the need for engaging patients, collecting data, getting their feedback, and then tweaking and modifying the product in an ongoing way. So foundationally, the digital piece is different. And again, part of a combination product, the spirit still holds true. You want to get ultimately to what I would call a very personalized experience using these digital solutions. And it only comes through the iterations that can go on an ongoing basis. And on an ongoing basis, and patient engagement is foundational to that.
And finally, Bill, what key takeaway messages from the upcoming DIA conference on combination products do you hope participants will take away?
For me, it's really a recognition that healthcare technology and its use within combination products is evolving so very rapidly. And I think it's critical for attendees to stay plugged in and to stay engaged, keep an eye on the agency and what it's doing, keep an eye on agencies abroad and what they're doing, keep an eye on fellow industry members, keep an eye on the technology itself, and not just keep an eye, but really plug in and engage, because I think ultimately, as you said earlier, it's about patients, and the evolution here of this technology can have ultimately a tremendously positive impact on the lives of patients, their caregivers, as well as providers and other stakeholders in the ecosystem. All of us play a role to help ensure that there's safe and effective solutions that leverage these technologies, and we want to make sure that these technologies get into the hands of the people who could most benefit from their use. So that's what I would hope folks would take away.
Knowing that our audience, whether in the room at the conference or listening to these podcasts or reading Global Forum, is young professionals, what are your thoughts around skills that young professionals should pick up to cope with the great opportunities facing us in combination products, in digital and related fields?
Boy, if I could go back in time myself, I would say, you know, kind of the concept of being an informaticist, the ability to really understand data, to handle it, to manage it, to analyze it, to segment it. I think that is one of the most powerful skills. Now, I know it's a little bit kind of rooted in the detail, but once you get your hands around that, I think it really broadens the mind to what the opportunities are. And so in the healthcare space, I think data is so critical, but I believe we're only barely at the tip of the iceberg in what we can do with it. And so for young professionals, I would really encourage, I think there's tremendous opportunity for getting a better sense of really what the power of that data is, how it can be used, because I think that the potential opportunities for its positive impact on healthcare are infinite. And I think it's a tremendously exciting space.
Are you talking about data science particularly, or even health data science?
I think so. Health data sciences, health informaticists and analysts. Again, I think young people earlier in their careers, getting that foundational knowledge, I think will only help them as they continue to evolve and grow in their careers. Because as a society, we're becoming more and more data driven, more and more evidence based driven, and having a solid foundation in that as a professional, I think can only help you.
Bill, we've come to the end of our time together. Thank you for that clear message and your other insights. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I appreciated the opportunity today, Alberto.
For the AA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.